जयं विशुपाद परमहंस परिभाषाचार्य श्रोत्र श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की जयं निखिलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विशुपाद परमहंस परिभाषाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Burdale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevam Gauravani Prajarini Narvisheshunyavadi Pashati Nishadarini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वया इतरतस् अर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवयीं मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयां तेजोवारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं बाबरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमगल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोर्रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायां विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमां यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहगादरमजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुक्वणिदादृदाननेन्दोः
മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭത മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപീം നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികയേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So before we continue, I just wanted to mention this, that the Bhagavad Gita classes, which we stopped in October, will continue that from the 14th of December, and hopefully we'll finish that second chapter Bhagavad Gita in a 2 to 3 weeks time, maximum 3 weeks, not more than that. We'll finish by end of this year. So, coming back to Ekadasha Skandam, where we were discussing one of the most important chapters, which is the 13th chapter in the 13th chapter in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Canto 11. The as I mentioned before, why is this chapter important? Because Krishna has spoken here something which, while clarifying the doubts of some great souls, when the great souls had some doubts about certain things in spiritual life, Krishna arrived there and clarified those questions to them. And that's why this 13th chapter is important, because it's direct instructions to the four Kumaras, particularly Sanal Kumara Maharshi. So, because they were the four Kumaras were involved, and Kumaras are supposed to be the authorities on spiritual life, they have even instructed Sri Narada Maharshi. So, Narada Maharshi took instructions from the four Kumaras. And when the four Kumaras had some doubts on spiritual life, doubts means that these doubts are, these are discussions among the great personalities, in order that we can understand some insight into their thinking, of their realizations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Parikshit Maharaj was instructed by these things by Sudev Goswami in order to give him an insight into this. So, particularly Ekadasha Skandam is a very difficult subject. It's a very, very difficult subject. And normally it is not discussed. While discussing, you will notice Srimad Bhagavatam, many people just touch and go Ekadasham. Why? Because of the complexity of this subject. Complexity in the sense that I mentioned before, this thing, probably if you have understood what I was saying, you will find it interesting in the sense that the this is not a philosophy. This is not a philosophy. Philosophy is within the realm of intelligence, mind. It finishes there. This is what Krishna has spoken in such a way which is coming from the chitta. Chitta means the satta chitta anandam. That's what we are, isn't it? The soul. So Krishna is speaking from the chit, the consciousness or the bodham, what is our real nature. That's what we are. And Krishna is speaking from that platform. And obviously, if we try to capture that with our mind and intelligence, we will fail. We won't get it. It is very simple. And that is why it becomes difficult. And those, you will see, if you look back into the history throughout Bhagavatam, whenever Ekadasha Skandam and the topics related to Ekadasha Skandam was discussed, sometimes a child captures it, but a highly learned, intelligent, scholarly professor, pandit won't understand it. This has happened. You can see that is why in the Bhagavatam such examples are brought in. The same knowledge in the Ekadasham, Srinarada Maharshi spoke to Prahlad Maharaj, for whom intelligence has not developed yet in the womb of the mother Kayadhu. It hasn't developed. But because the consciousness was so pure, while being in the womb of the mother, he got the message. He was able to capture it. And in the history we find many people who are very intelligent and who are very thoughtful people, as soon as they hear Ekadasham, they try to bring it into their own mental arena or mental limitations, and the result is that they don't get it. They don't get it. And that is the difficulty in this Ekadasha Skandam. Many things, that's why I'm saying this again, because while Krishna was instructing Uddhava also, Krishna is speaking from the spiritual platform, completely from the spiritual platform. And those who are listening, particularly now in this case it's Uddhava, Uddhava was hearing this, and Uddhava's questions have started coming back from Uddhava. When Uddhava started questioning Krishna, Krishna's answers, if you see, you will see Krishna doesn't answer the question direct. What Uddhava has asked, Krishna has not answered that question directly. Because questioning and answering is a business of the mind. It's a business of the mind. Where does question coming from? Questions are coming from the mind, isn't it? When the questions are coming from the mind, why does the questions come? Because the doubts are in the mind. Is it not? So doubts, questions, all these things are in relationship with the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. It's nothing to do with the soul. But due to our conditioning, we have this nature of to analyze everything under the control of the mind. We say some things. If you say something, sometimes people say, I have not understood that. It is not a subject for understanding. That's what I'm saying. It's not a subject for understanding. As I mentioned before, that we go, we write down, we go home, and then we think. We'll think about it, and then I will understand it. It's not for understanding. This, as I was saying this before, this is not for intelligence to understand, the mind to understand. It is only from soul to soul, direct. That is this discussion between Krishna and Uddhava. It is a discussion from soul to the soul. Kasmayena vibhasitoyam adulom. That important verse in the Bhagavatam is just to indicate this point. Jnana pradipa puratvadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tudruvina. Shri Krishna Bhagavan, Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead, sat in Brahma's heart because Krishna wanted to have satsangam. That's what many scholars say. When Krishna wanted to have satsangam, there was nobody else to have satsangam with. So what did Krishna do? Thought about this and entered into the body of Lord Brahma. When he looked into the navel, Brahma, the lotus flower came about, and within the lotus flower, Krishna appeared as Brahma. And Krishna spoke Bhagavatam to Krishna within Brahma's heart. And so Krishna is hearing and Krishna is speaking. And then again from Srinarada Maharshi came. Srinarada Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in Srinarada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. Then again Vedavyasa Maharshi came. Krishna sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi spoke Bhagavatam, and Krishna in the heart of Vedavyasa Maharshi, Narada Maharshi spoke Bhagavatam and heard while sitting in the heart of Vedavyasa Maharshi. So in this way, this message has come down to this world. Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one speaker, that is Krishna, and there is only one listener, that's also Krishna. Only thing is, Krishna is sitting in so many hearts and listening, Krishna is speaking from so many hearts. That's all it is. So, kasmayena vibhasito ayamatulo jnana pradipa puratva dhruvena ja naradaya munaye krishnaya tudruvina yogindraya tadatmanada bhagavadradaya karunyado tachuddham vimalam vishogamamradam satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavadam finishes with these words, satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavadam begins with the same words, satyam param dhimahi. So satyam param dhimahi, it begins and it finishes at satyam param dhimahi. So there it says there that Parikshit Maharaj also, yogi indraya tathatmanada bhagavadradaya karunyadam, that he also heard Bhagavadam in the same way. Tat shruddham vimalam vishogamamrdam. This is the beauty of Bhagavadam. All the ignorance goes away, all the misunderstanding goes away. Satyam param dhimahi. And at the end, what remains? It's only satyam, the truth. The truth is Krishna. So Krishna remains at the end. So while we were discussing this, we were talking about, I mentioned this also before, that the 10th, 11th and 12th chapters in the Canto 11 is an introduction to this 13th chapter's message. Message in the 13th chapter. So we have seen there, I have been telling this also before, that the Krishna says there that shokam moham sukham dukham deha patischa maya swapnam yadhalpana khyadir samsardir natuvastavi. Very, very important verses in the Bhagavadam. These verses are generally not discussed in the public because many people who relishes these verses, they sit with people who also have an equal desire to discuss it, and it is discussed in that way. So, shogam moham sukham dukham. Shogam, hankering, lamentation, happiness, distress. Krishna is saying, deha patischa maya. That is only happening because it is in relationship with the body. It has nothing to do with the soul. Krishna is trying to tell us the body is different, soul is different. Not to mix up these two things all the time. We are so much mixed up with all these things, isn't it? Soul, mind, body, intelligence, senses, and everything together we are. That's what we are today. So we have to dismantle this whole thing, this one unit which we are. We have to dismantle it. Dismantle in the sense, what Krishna says there, all these experiences in the material world, what we are experiencing in the form of distress, happiness, shokam, moham, sukham, dukham, happiness, this is all that, deha patischa maya, they are only to do with the body. It's only a part of the body it is. And why? It is a product of maya. Material body is a product of maya. Material nature has given this body to us. We are not this body. Body belongs to material nature. We belong to Krishna. Our proper identity is we are soul, which is part of Krishna. So strictly speaking, these two things have joined together. Krishna and material nature has joined together and created us. That is what we are. Although maya is coming from Krishna, in the process of creation, we happen to come out in these different bodies. And this body, Krishna is saying to us, try to understand this body, Krishna says. We have at the moment so many false conceptions about this body. Somebody tells us this body has come because of the relationship with father and mother, because of the relationship between the material elements. There are various explanations given to this material body. But in Krishna's definition, Krishna is saying here, this body actually doesn't exist. This body has no real existence. Why? It is a product of maya. Therefore, it has no real existence. Shogamoho sukham dukham dehapatischa maya. Dehapatischa. Dehapatischa means the body has come about. And nobody understands this body properly. Properly means in complete understanding of this body. If you ask the scientists, they will give you, they have no answer why this body has come about. Why a particular person has got a particular type of body in a particular situation, female form or male form, why? No answer. So scientists have no answers, doctors have no answers, nor the people who have philosophers, they have no answer to this question. Nobody understands this body. It has come manifested one day in front of us. When I say in front of us means when we are identifying with the soul, we have to see the body as separate. So body has manifested in front of us one day. Why we got this body, nobody knows. We still don't have the answer. So body manifests one day, then without asking us, it starts showing up its own. It starts growing up. It doesn't ask our permission to grow. It doesn't ask our permission to grow. It starts growing up. And it puts on a lot of demands on us, isn't it? It is expecting from us a good care of this body, and we keep on looking after this body from the day we were born or as soon as we got some sense of maintaining the body. But we were told all the time that we have to look after this body. Krishna is asking why. Krishna's question is, why is this body so important? And due to this continuous imposition of the bodily understanding in us, we are finding very difficult to accept what Krishna is saying. Shoka moha sukham dukham deha patischa maya. That is all dehapati. Deham has come, body has come, maya has given this body, and the result of that is svapnam yadhatmana khyadir samsratir natu vastavi. Svapnam yadhatmana khyadir. Krishna is saying there that when you think about this, he says, from the dream state, when you wake up in the morning, how you forget and ignore all that was relationship with the dream. It is no more significant for you at that stage, isn't it? When the dream state, what you have seen throughout night dreaming, all the dreams in the morning when you wake up, it has no meaning at all. It is finished, its importance is over. We think, oh, it was just a dream and bridge rejected. Krishna is saying to us, samsradir nadu vastavi. In a similar way, whatever you are experiencing in your vacant state throughout this whole life, what we are going through, thinking that we take it as the most important thing in this whole life, thinking that, oh, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I have this responsibility starting with, and at the end, till we go to bed, it's responsibility, responsibility and responsibility. Nothing else. So all these responsibility, Krishna is saying, nadu vastavi. It's not real. This is Krishna's explanation to us on this body and our material existence. That is why Ekadasha Skandam verses are the truth. This is not intelligence. This is not philosophy. This is the truth Krishna is presenting before us. All the complete Vedic philosophy is based on Krishna's words. This is the basic understanding. Brahma Sutram, Vedanta Sutram, Upanishads, all that is related to this knowledge in the Ekadasha Skandam. They are all interconnected. It's exactly the same thing. All Upanishads tell you the same thing. Brahma Sutram tells you the same thing. And all the Puranas, Ramayanam, Bharatam, of course they speak in a little bit more, in a simpler way to understand, but otherwise the message is exactly the same. So, shoga moha sukham dukham deha patischa maya svapnam yadhatmana khyadir samsratir natu vastavi. So that's what we were discussing last Sunday. So maya, Krishna says maya is the cause behind it. As soon as you wake up, how you realize that the dream was not a reality? Similarly, Krishna says, when you come to self-realization, as soon as you realize the truth, as you realize the self, all this will also become not anymore a truth. Today we are seeing this as truth. Everything is very important for us. But as soon as you wake up, and come to that self-realized state, then this is no more important. This is no more important. Now, why is the, I mentioned also this last time, that the, if it is like that, why the vacant state is important? That also we should know. Because dream state is not important, we said. But vacant state is important. Why is that? In the dream state, there is no presence of chit in that. Out of the sat, chit and anandam, the chit is not present in the dream state. You know what I mean by chit. Chit means actually our consciousness, bodham. Bodham means I am existing. I am existing. That consciousness. That is the only truth in this world, isn't it? No matter what happens to us, even if you cut off my hands and legs and everything, still I will say I exist. Even if this body goes away, I exist. So I am existing all the time. And this is the only truth in this world, that my existence, isn't it? And that is what is known as the chit. It comes from the chit aspect of Krishna. Satya chitta anandam, isn't it? Satchidanandam we call as the soul. Out of that, sat is the eternity. Chit is that I am existing, consciousness or bodham, whichever way you want to call this. And the third thing is anandam. Anandam is the blissful nature of the soul. So out of these three, the chit aspect doesn't exist in the sopnam state. In the dream state, you don't experience the chit aspect. And therefore, in the jagrat state, there is a small part of this chit aspect present in us. That is why we are able to say, I am. I am. I am able to say that in the chit, in the vacant state. And if this chit aspect is present, it is possible to realize the self. Otherwise, it's not possible. If there is no chit aspect present in a person, he cannot realize the self, because it is through this chit energy that we are realizing the truth. That is why chit is important for us. Satchidanandam, that chit is important for us. So, so therefore in dream state, you cannot acquire knowledge. You cannot acquire the knowledge for self-realization. But it is possible to acquire the knowledge for self-realization in the vacant state because of the presence of the chit. Chit potency in there. So, even in the jagrat state or in the vacant state, if you succeed in shifting your attention from the body to the soul, you are realized straight away, right now, at this point in time. You are realized the truth. That is where we find it difficult, isn't it? It's, we can say these things, but when it comes to that, but the point is this, what Krishna is making is this. Right at this time, while in the jagrat state, where the chit potency is present there, if you are able to shift your attention from the body to the soul inside, at this very moment you are self-realized. That is why if you ask any Mahatmas, all self-realized souls will say, if you ask them, how long do I have to chant Hare Krishna to get the self-realization? People ask questions like that, isn't it? Because their understanding is that I have to do so many years a course or a seminar or so many years I have to chant, and after that I will become self-realized. In other words, they are thinking that self-realization is something that has to come from outside. That is not the truth. The self-realization is available right now, right in the hand, within us, inside. What's happening today is that due to different karma vasanas, what we have created in several lifetimes, it has covered up. The knowledge is already there in everyone. Every single one of us have got the spiritual knowledge present in us. What's happening is due to the covering nature of the ignorance, what is in us, that is not coming out. But that ignorance goes in this way, that we start inquiring to when we see great souls, we ask them, how many years would it take to become self-realized? How long do I have to go on doing this? And this kind of questions come from that. But the fact remains that, so whenever they reply, if you see, they will say, it only takes a second. Because if you have succeeded in shifting your attention from body to the soul, you are self-realized. There finishes the business also. But that you can't ask how much time it will take. That's up to you to shift the attention from body to the soul. That's not for the Mahatma to tell us how long it will take. That's up to you. They will say it to you like that. So, this important thing in the Bhagavadam, when Krishna is discussing this, Krishna is saying here that as soon as you have realized this, immediately you are liberated. And if you think that, if you start thinking in terms of the material nature, Prakriti, Prakriti is full of, mixed up with everything. All kinds of problems in the Prakriti. And that you cannot do anything about it. That you can't do anything about it. And that is where we will go back and forth about various things in these verses. When Sangamana Maharshi asked this question, Krishna's answer was in the Hamsam form. He answered in a different way, which I mentioned before also. What did he say to him? He said, Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhaven nijasukhane bhavo niriha samdrishyade. This is in the chapter 13. You will see verse 35. It's one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad. Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhaven nijasukhane bhavo niriha samdrishyade kujedidam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmayana bhave smritirani padad. That is that verse. Krishna is saying there that what you should do, he says, what you should do, drishtim dada prada pravartya nirshna, drishtim dada pratinivartya nivartya trishna. First thing is to give up all desires, he says. All desires, including the desire for self-realization. That's how Krishna puts it. Including every desire must go from inside. Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta trishna. Because desiring for self-realization is also a desire. Isn't it? It's also a desire. Our nature is like this, that the Krishna's point is prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partham anogadan. If you look into Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, you will see Krishna saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan, all desires must go, because desire is also a product of the mind. Desire is also a product of the mind. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Manogadam, it's from the mind that's coming. So here, Krishna is saying here, drishtim tada pradanivartya nivartya trishna tushnim bhavan nijasukhane bhavo niriham. That, understand this, Krishna says here, that accepted that the material existence is false. It is a temporary thing and it's a false thing. In other words, mithya pravancham, it's called. So, because it is a temporary thing, not to put your attention on that. And shift the attention from there to the soul. We talked about this example last time when we discussed this, that you are standing in a railway platform. You are sitting in one train. On the next track, there is another train standing there. You are looking this side, that side. Suddenly, the other train starts moving. Immediately, you start thinking you are moving. Isn't it? This experience most of us have, isn't it? So, when you are looking at the other train, you are thinking that you are moving. But how can you avoid that? The only thing you can do is not to look on that side, but turn your attention to the platform. If you look into the platform, what will happen? You won't see that movement of the movement. Your train is not moving then. You know what the reality is, isn't it? So Krishna says, this material nature is like that. Drishtim tada pratinivritya nivritta trishna. That you take your attention away from the world. That is the first and foremost thing to do if one is looking for liberation from this material existence. There is no other way. Simply somebody is thinking that I will settle down in this world with this body, with my family, with my children, my this, my that. Then Krishna says, forget it. Don't read Ekadasi Skandam. Krishna's instruction is like that. So that is the first thing. That drishtim dada pradanivartya nivartya trishna. That understanding must deeply go inside. Otherwise it's not possible. We want everything on our terms. That's the problem. Everything should happen on our terms. Our terms are this, that I want to be happy in my own way. And Krishna should provide me everything for that. But unfortunately, this is our disease also. That this realization what we have. तूष्णीं भवा भवे निज सुखान भवो निरीह संदृश्यते संदृश्यते क्वच यदीदम् अवस्तु बुद्ध्या त्यक्तं भ्रमायन भवेल् स्मृति आनिपातान् अवस्तु बुद्ध्या
मीन्स् इट् हेस् नो जेन्युइन् एक्सिस्टेन्स् सो यू हेव् टु लुक् अट् इट् इन् देट् वे सी दिस् वर्ल्ड् इन् देट् वे अदर्वैस् इट् इस् नाट् पासिबल्
सो कृष्ण सैस् संदृश्यते क्वच यदीदम् अवस्तु बुद्ध्या त्यक्तं भ्रमायन भवेल् स्मृति आनिपादाल्
Because in that case, this Brahman, this is a Brahman. Krishna calls the word as Brahman. Brahman means, if you translate that into English, the correct way to look at it is that it's a kind of illusion. It's a kind of illusion. Brahman means a kind of misunderstanding. That's what has happened to us. All these things are very subtle topics in the Bhagavatam. You know, we call four major defects in us, isn't it? Generally we know, you'll notice that, tendency to commit mistakes, propensity to cheat, and to be under illusion and imperfect senses. The four things. Every Ishkan devotee knows these four things. So, those four things, out of that, to be under illusion is one thing, and that is called Brahman. So, that Brahman is that what Krishna is referring to. Tyaktam Brahmayana Bhavel. Smritirani Padal. That Brahman, we all are in that Brahman. At the moment, the Brahman is, the immediate effect is this, that Brahman is keeping us in this state of existence, what we are today. That means, we are not able to take Krishna's words very seriously, no desire for cultivating self-realization or spiritual realization, no plans for that even, rather completely satisfied with the material existence and trying to adjust all the time everything in this world to suit our material life. This is way we are surviving in this world today, isn't it? So, tektam brahmayam, that unless that Brahman has gone from inside, Krishna is saying the truth won't happen, the realization won't come inside. You can jump up and down day and night, nothing will happen. Tektam brahmayam, first that Brahman must go from inside. Drishtim dada prati nivartya nivartya trishnaha. That trishna is so many desires inside. And trying to fulfill all those desires and adjusting various situations in life, Krishna is saying all this is a part of that big illusion what we have created within ourselves. So, tyaktam brahmaya. And one that Brahman has gone, then it is very easy, Krishna says, to shift that attention from body to the soul. So, while referring to that, we have seen what Krishna mentions there is the, what he says here, that all you have to do is to sit quietly after that. Once you have shifted your attention from there. And Krishna says there, when the attention turns into the soul, once the attention turns into the soul, what does Krishna say? Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. If you look into that verse in the Bhagavatam, in the verse number 11, in the chapter 11, Krishna says that here, that Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. If you look into verse 10, that's where we were talking about, isn't it? So, we saw Krishna in the 11th chapter. I'm again repeating this 11th and 12th chapter, although we have discussed all these things before, only for one reason, to get this firmly rooted in our consciousness, so that when we go into 13th chapter, it makes it a little bit more easier. Daivadhine sharirasmin gunabhavena karmana vartamano abodastatra kartasmiti nibhadyade. Krishna said there. Daivadhinam, this body, Krishna is saying, he has not come according to your plans. That's the first thing. You have no freedom to decide what kind of body you are going to have. You have no freedom to decide where you are going to get your next body. You have no freedom to decide what kind of body you are going to have in the next life. All these things are not in your control. Krishna is making it very clear to us. That is called Daivadhinam. Daivadhina means, from the Shastram point of view, Daivadhina means actually the prarabdha karma. Here it is referred as prarabdha karma. Why? Devam. Devam is the supreme personality of God. Devadhinam. It is under his control. It is. Devadhine sharire spin gunabhavyena karmana vartamano abhudastatra karta smidi nibhadhyade. Krishna says there in that verse that the ignorant person, he says that he will take this body as everything. His body as everything. And not only that, when his senses are engaged in activities, he will identify with them. I am doing this all the time. I am doing this. I am the doer. The results must come according to my plan. Absolutely ignorant. Completely on an ignorant level, he will live in this body, in this world, and he will die. This is what's happening, isn't it? Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavena karmana vartamano abhudastatra karta asmi iti nibhadyade. He will never realize it, that he is not the doer, he is not the enjoyer either. If you want to understand these verses properly, you must study the third chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna explains about the complexities of karma, identification with the body, and how important it is to understand, to turn this life into a yajna, a sacrifice. There he will explain these things in much more in depth. He talks about that in the third chapter. You can see that in the Bhagavad Gita. But with that background, if you read these verses, it will make a lot of sense. Because otherwise, Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. Krishna is saying there, karmam is the cause behind it. That is what has created this body at the end. Karmam also is a big topic in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? For 3-4 chapters, Krishna goes talking about the karmam. So, Devadhine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana. Three modes of material nature, under the influences of that, the living entity acts in this world, creates a lot of karma. See, if you study karma properly first, you can see the complexity. You do a karma, it creates karma vasana. You have karma vasana, you do more karma. You do more karma, you get more karma vasana. Vasana means the propensity or tendency what you create, the flavor that comes from that. Every karma has its own vasana coming from that, isn't it? So karmam, karma vasana to karmam, karmam to karma vasana, it way this chakram goes on, this wheel goes on. So Krishna is saying there, evam pravartidam chakram, this chakram will continue so long as you sit in this wheel of karmam. So how to free oneself from that karma chakram or the wheel of karmam is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, which is the Karma Yogam chapter. Karma Yogam chapter. Why was that chapter spoken? Because, as you know, Krishna spoke about Karma Yogam in the second chapter itself. Isn't it? If you remember, Karmanye Vadhigaraste, in one verse, Krishna completed the whole of Karma Yogam in the second chapter. Karmanye Vadhigaraste, Ma Phaleshu Kadachana, Ma Karma Balahe Durbur, Ma To Sangos Tvakarmani. Four things mentioned in that. The Karma Yogam is already finished there. Then how did this third chapter come about, Karma Yogam? When Krishna spoke the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Esham Brahmistiti Partha, that Brahmistiti, Brahmistiti means the self-realized state, that is when Krishna spoke about Sthita Prajnatvam, isn't it? Nowhere else you will see in the Shastram this word Sthita Prajnatvam except in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke this word Sthita Prajnatvam of a person who is already, whose mind has come to that steady state in this world. How he has reached that state, that is known as Sthita Prajnatvam. Various words are used in Bhagavad Gita at different places, but they all mean one and the same. It's spoken at different times in different ways. You shouldn't get too worried about it. Why it is said like this here and something else there. Krishna will use the word Sthita Prajnatvam. Krishna will use the word Brahmistiti. Krishna uses the word Gunatidan. Krishna uses the word Bhakta. Krishna uses the word Yogi. Krishna uses the word Jnani. Krishna uses the word Gunatidan, Dvandvatidan. All different words Krishna uses throughout Bhagavad Gita. Actually, if you look into the features of all these different different words is exactly one and the same. They are not different. So in other words, the self-realized soul, basically that's what it means, is his mind is steady. He doesn't get affected by anything. So Krishna is speaking this from the Brahmi sthiti, from the realized state, as the Absolute Truth he is speaking. Arjuna is listening and is hearing all these things completely with the mind, through the mind. Yeah. And he is trying to capture everything from Krishna, whatever Krishna has spoken, and he started analyzing this, whatever Krishna has spoken in the second chapter. So in the second chapter, first Krishna spoke about Sangyam, isn't it? Sangya Yogam is the first part of the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. He spoke Sangyam there. Sangyam means the knowledge what actually liberates a person. A liberated state, one who is completely freed from activities, only withdrawn from all activities, and through this knowledge, Sangyam, he comes to the self-realized state. That is Sangyam. Sangyam finishes in the middle of the second chapter. So when Sangyam was spoken, Arjuna said it is not possible to practice all these things what is spoken in the Sangya Yogam. It is then that Krishna instructed Yogam to him. Isn't it? Karma Yogam was instructed at that point, and that's how all Karma Yogam was discussed. So Arjuna heard both Sangyam and Karmam, and now after finishing the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking the question to Krishna, Krishna, you have told me first to give up everything, and now you are asking me to fight. How come these two things, how can I do this? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. You can see Arjuna's predicament. Arjuna is like us, isn't it? In the same situation. We all want everything in a tablet form, isn't it? Then we are happy. So just put it in the mouth, finish, business is over. Spiritual life, you cannot make it a tablet out of spiritual life. That is the most difficult thing. This has been the problem all the time in spiritual life. That is why all the Mahatmas, they know our problem. What is our problem? Our problem is this thing called mind. Mind is controlling us all the time. In everything, mind is the first thing in the front. When somebody says something to you, you subject that to your mind first. And the mind is not a real thing. Mind, what is mind? Mind is nothing but we call it as chitavritti. Chitavritti means continuous flow of thoughts. That's what this mind is inside. Yeah, it's not a real thing. It comes and goes, comes and goes. And we put all our trust and faith, everything in this mind, and whatever mind tells us, we accept as the authority. That is normal for us. So Arjuna did exactly the same thing with Krishna. When Krishna spoke the second chapter, Arjuna also thought that in his mind that he has told me about first to give up everything. Now he's telling me to fight. How does these two things work together? So straight away Arjuna's question, if you ask in the third chapter, if you look, you will see what he said there. He says to Krishna, can you be a little bit more specific about what you are saying? We also like that, isn't it? Everything. One word answer. Krishna didn't answer that question because Krishna knows the problem, what the problem is. You will see this all the time in spiritual life, you will come across this problem. We are also going through the same problem. So therefore, all the Mahatmas, what they do first thing is, they want to get you out of this mental platform. They want to get you out of this mental platform. Every Mahatma, if you look at it, they will do exactly the same thing to us. And you may think that, why is not very straight about this thing? Because we are used to this business called mind. With the mind we want to measure everything. Including Srila Prabhupada has done the same thing to us. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, a lot of people have told me, and I have also felt exactly the same thing, the beginning, that there is a lot of contradictions, they say. But they won't say that, why they feel that they are offended Srila Prabhupada. That's why they won't say anything about it. On one point, Prabhupada will say, chant Hare Krishna, that is the highest thing. If you do that, everything will be perfect. They will say this one. Another point, Prabhupada will say, go and distribute the books, that's the most important service you have to do. Then Prabhupada will say, go on Harinam, that is the message, the mission for this age. Another time, Prabhupada will say that distribute the prasadam, that is our whole business in this world. Another point, Prabhupada will say, do the deity worship so nicely that Krishna will bless you with everything what you need, there will be no problem. So people will read everything and then they start thinking, which one should I choose out of this? I can't do all of this because 24 hours is not enough for all these things, isn't it? If you start doing all everything what Prabhupada has written in the book, you cannot do it because it's just not enough time. Even 24 hours is not enough. Even if you don't sleep, if you have become a yogi to that level, still you can't do it because there is so much to do. Plus you have to maintain your body, family and all the other things, isn't it? So naturally, the question will come that why did Prabhupada say like this? This we have to ask this question, isn't it? Why did he say like this? The only answer you can get for this is this. That spiritual life is not something that you can put it into blocks. We are so much used to this blocks business that if somebody, something is told to us in a particular way, only then we will accept it. Otherwise we won't accept it. We want clearly on basis of time, space and everything in relationship with our mind. That's what our mind is telling us. Mind is telling us to be like that all the time. So, in order to get us out of this mind, all the Mahatmas do this to us. They want us to confuse us in this way. It's a particularly practical kind of confusion it is. Confusion will come in such a way that over a period of time, our false ego will go. False ego will go from inside. And we will start seeing things that in Krishna's service, nothing is less important. Everything is important. You can serve Krishna throughout life in millions of ways. There is nothing that will stop you from serving Krishna. But we don't want that kind of answer. We want an answer where you want to say, which one is the best one so that I'll get back to spiritual world quickly. We want an answer like that, isn't it? So if Prabhupada says to us, by distributing the books you'll get to spiritual world before anything else, we will all give up all other things. We'll go after book distribution. If Prabhupada says to us, just chant Hare Krishna, we'll chant for 10, 15 years, then we'll say, we are tired, nothing has happened so far, let me switch to something else now, to some other service. Or if Prabhupada says, don't worry about anything, just take Srimad Bhagavatam and study, don't worry about, read my books, nothing else you have to do. We'll read that also, and after some time we are not getting anywhere. So we'll give up this also. So like this, the point what I'm saying is, that Mahatmas have this way, want to come out of this mind, thing called the mind, what is our biggest problem in the spiritual life. It is a mind that is holding us back in everything, not allowing us to operate in the spiritual way. It's the material way we do things. And you can see this has happened in many cases. In the history, if you look at it, you will hear so many people have done the same thing. One sannyasi, great sannyasi, went to America and he was talking about Bhagavad Gita there. So, when he was speaking Bhagavad Gita there, first he spoke about Karma Yoga. One day he spoke in detail about Karma Yoga. So there were many people who were listening to him and they were all very affected by this beauty of Karma Yoga. And after hearing the whole lecture of Karma Yoga, they understood that Karma Yoga is the message in the Bhagavad Gita. They took it like that. And they went home happily. The next day they came, and again, this time, he spoke about Bhakti Yoga. And when he spoke about Bhakti Yoga, whole day they heard this Bhakti Yoga process, and they started thinking, yesterday he was giving so much about Karma Yoga, saying that Karma Yoga was the most important thing, and now today, he's saying Bhakti Yoga is much more important, and it is the very message of Bhagavad Gita. So they got a bit confused there itself. Second day they got more confused. First day they didn't get so much confused. They were thinking there is Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga all mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, but Karma Yoga is obviously the most important thing, they thought. So the second day when he spoke about Bhakti Yoga, the people present there, they got so confused about it. They were looking at each other and they went home, you know, grumbling about it, that this is all confusing, the whole thing is confusing, the Swamiji is definitely confusing us, he said. And then the third day they came and he gave a glorious presentation of Jnana Yogam on that day. So when Jnana Yogam was spoken on the third day in depth, Swamiji concluded there is nothing higher than knowledge, he said. So ultimately the whole thing broke up. It came out from the people who were present there. So as soon as the class that day, the discussion was over, they came out to him, few of people came out to him and said to the Swamiji, Swamiji, you have completely put us in a real crisis now. First day you told us that Karma Yoga is the most important thing. That was day before yesterday. Yesterday you told us that Bhakti Yoga is more important. And now you are telling us Jnana Yoga is important. Swamiji's reply, day before yesterday was day before yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday and today is today, he said. Why did he say like that? Why? Because, you see, we have this nature in us because we are not spiritually very advanced. Spiritual realization is not in us. We are thinking in terms of yesterday, day before, today. This is one biggest blunder in our head, hammered into our head. We have always identified with this body throughout life and we got used to this concept of yesterday, day before and today, and we are thinking after a few years our existence is over. Spiritually realized souls, they don't think like that. They are always fixed on the truth. For them, yesterday, day before, nothing exists. That exists in the Maya. In Maya, all these things exist. Time exists in Maya. Body exists in Maya. And space exists in Maya. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna has spoken Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam. In different ways, we have given titles and calls it. Strictly speaking, there is only one Yogam. That is Krishna consciousness. And that Yogam is spoken in these many, many ways. So that if one understands this way, let him take it. If he has not understood, let him come through this way. So this is the problem, that our boxed mind, or in other words, the so-called advanced human species in this world, whose mind is like this, which only a box can understand, only through boxes, it has to be. That's why all the courses and seminars are very attractive to us, isn't it? We give thousands of pounds to join a course. Why? Because we get the questionnaire nicely, multiple choice questions. All you have to tick, you pass the exam, get the certificate, go home happily. Spiritual life, if you could buy like that, all of us would have been in the spiritual world by now. Would it not? We have all got degrees, isn't it? If we could get degrees, I'm sure we can pass all these tests also. It's not so difficult. But it hasn't happened so far. What does it show? What does that show? It only shows one thing. If you try to spiritual life, no technique will work. In spiritual life, no technique will work. None of your so-called tools and processes what we have developed for developing material knowledge will not work in spiritual life. Spiritual life, you have only one option. Sharanagati to Krishna. That's the beginning and end of the story. And that true Sharanagati, when it happens, surrender to Krishna, when by Krishna's mercy the knowledge is revealed to us, not otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, self-realized souls, they know these things. They won't fool us around with courses and seminars. They don't want all this wasting of time. As far as they are concerned, complete waste of time. So they will tell us one thing, that these yoga systems like Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is also on the same basis. Karmam, Jnanam, Bhakti, we may call in all these different names under different titles. Krishna was not saying to Arjuna in the battlefield, Arjuna, I'm finishing now 6th chapter now, Karma Yoga is over. I'm going to start the 7th chapter with the Bhakti Yoga now. And then when the 11th chapter is over, Arjuna, no, Bhakti Yoga is over, now I'm going to start the Jnana Yoga. Did he say like that? No, he didn't do that. Vedavyasa Maharshi has written, when he wrote Mahabharatam, he presented it like that to us. So in spiritual life, if we make our mind a box like all the time, we have big problem. And that's why we are not making any progress in spiritual life. Because of this. because our mind is trained in this way, and we make it worse day by day by adding to that, not able to see the subtleties of spiritual life, and try to manipulate the spiritual life in our way, it's not moving very far. The train is stopping there. It stays there. So Krishna is saying here, Daivadhine Sharirasmin Gunabhavyena Karmana. That is a beautiful verse in the Bhagavadam. Daivadhinam. Body has come to you. It has come by Daivadhinam, by Prarabdham. It has come. If we simply accept that, most of our problem is solved. But we won't accept that. What do? We'll say, well, Krishna can say all that, but it's my body. That's the answer. That's what we will say to Krishna, isn't it? Can you fix this for me if I have a problem? That's what we say. Krishna is saying, Devadhinam. It is Devadhinam. It is Devadhine Sharirasmin Gunabhavyena Karmana. Egadashaskandam, if you digest it properly, in other words, if it gets into consciousness, our bodily problems are solved with that. Then you won't worry about the body anymore. The bodily worries will go to a large extent. And this is what self-realization is all about, getting out of this bodily concept of life. Gunabhavyena Karmana. Vartamana Buddhastatra Kartasmidi Nibhadyade. That persons who is not conscious of these things, Krishna is saying there that Ajnani. Ajnani means one who is in ignorance. What does he say? That this material body is Prarabdha Shariram. It has come from Prarabdham. That we don't know this body. As I mentioned, we should look at our own body and analyze this body every single day. This body didn't come to me out of my request. It has come to me somehow. I don't know. Nobody knows. Krishna knows. Nobody else knows about it. And then what else? This body keeps growing without asking me. It goes through this birth, boyhood, youthhood, old age, and then death. So in that process, it gets diseased, and sometimes it gets cured, and sometimes it doesn't get cured. We carry on the disease, the whole thing. Eventually the body leaves us without asking us, isn't it? It doesn't ask us when it wants to go. We can just helplessly. There's nothing more ungrateful thing in this world than your own body. Whole lifetime you have looked after this body, worked for it, spent all your energy and time to maintain this body, and you fed the body, clothed the body, got the medicines and went to all the doctors and treated the body when it fell sick. You did everything for the body, and this most ungrateful, wretched thing called body one day leaves you like this and goes away. Isn't it? So, Daivadhine Sharirasmin Gunabhavyena Karmana Vartamano Abhudastatra Karta Asmiti Nibhadyade. Intelligent person, Krishna says, sees this from the very beginning. He sees the nature of this body. And he reflects on this and takes some decisions within. I am not going to go with this. It is an ungrateful thing which I am carrying with me. Why should I unnecessarily serve this body? That's what Krishna is saying here. So, even you may think that the scientists will say, or the doctors will say, oh, we know about, they also don't know about this body, to be tell you the truth. Nobody understands this material body. Doctors doesn't know, scientists doesn't know. Neither of them knows. Okay, they know a lot of things, how to manipulate with the body when it gets sick. Because if they knew everything about this body, if their knowledge was perfect, they should be able to sustain this body forever, isn't it? Or when we get sick, they should be able to completely cure it. But they are not able to do that. And that shows that even you can ask any doctors, any scientists, they will also tell you. If they are honest about it, they will admit this point, that we also don't fully understand how this body has come about. So this is the reality. And it is important for a person who is looking for spiritual life to first to understand his own body. Because body's relationship with the soul, in relationship with our true identity, what is the position with this body? That what we have to think about. So Krishna is saying here that the body, when we say these things, nobody should feel offended. The scientists or the doctors, they shouldn't feel offended about it. Because the reason for that is, science can never be perfect. This is first thing. Medical science also can never be perfect. It's not possible. Why? Because it is a part of material nature. It's a part of the material nature. And we are trying to manipulate the body with our intelligence. Intelligence is a product of Maya. So if intelligence is a product of Maya, body is also a product of Maya, it is not possible to become perfect on a bodily platform. These are very fundamentals of spiritual life. That if we don't accept these things and change our way of thinking right now before it gets too late, it will be very difficult for us to make any spiritual progress. First, to recognize that this body is most ungrateful. I am not this body. I am something different than this body. Body is not mine. And thirdly, I am not this body. Body is not mine. And this body is of very limited use to me. These are the clarity of thought there between me and the body and my body. If this wedge should be properly put in, otherwise it won't work. I am not this body. Body is not mine. The body is of limited use to me. This is a higher understanding on the spiritual life. So having established, otherwise what will happen is when we say about scientists, doctors and all that, people ask this question, why do you, because a lot of people have a lot of faith in science, isn't it? Science is controlling the whole world today, everywhere and all over the world, science is controlling. So they are thinking that, why do you criticize science like that? Science has done so much good to us, this, that and the other. They'll say so many things. That's fine. Science may have created certain things in this world. That's all siddhis as far as the Shastram is concerned. But the point still remains is, we are not criticizing science. What we are saying is this, that in the bodily level, you can never be perfect. It's not possible. You can never be happy while carrying this material body. So that is not possible. What to talk about that, even other Vedic aspects of Vedic literature, they are not even perfect. Even we sometimes misunderstand everything that is stated in the Vedas and Vedic literature is 100% truth. That is also not true. The only thing that is true in the Vedic literature is only that matter which is related to the soul. Everything else is imperfect. Shiksha, Vyakaranam, Jyotisham, Chandas, Niruktam, Kalpam. The six Upangas of the Vedas, even they are imperfect. Why? Because they are also studied through intelligence. To study all these things requires intelligence. The six Upangas of the Vedas. Normally in the Vedic tradition, there are 14 subjects to be studied. The four main Vedas, which is Rigga, Yajusa, Samam, Atharvanam, the four main Vedas. Then there is these six Upangas, Shiksha, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Jyotisham, Chandasa, Kalpam, the six things. And then the four Upavedas, Gandharvam, Ayurvedam, like Dhanurvedam, like that, the four of them. So these 14 things is considered to be the basic education in spiritual, in for a person who is follows the Vedic tradition, all the 14 subjects. This is what generally taught in the early stages for a student. So out of these 14 topics, except the Upanishads part of the Vedas, everything else is subject to scrutiny. In other words, there you can question things. None of them are perfect. You cannot say Ayurvedam. Take for example Ayurvedam. Can you say Ayurvedam is perfect? You can't say Ayurvedam is perfect. Because if Ayurvedam is perfect, the result should be there. Person who has used Ayurvedam or who has used allopathy or any other medical system, they are also dying at the end. So that shows that it is not possible unless one has a perfect... Perfection is not possible in the body. Perfection is not possible in the body. This is the thing we have to understand from that. No matter whatever system you follow, perfection is not possible with this material body. Everything is in the face of the material nature. Therefore, all these things we are studying, all these different branches in the Vedas, Vedic literature, we are studying with our intelligence, isn't it? And that intelligence is also under the control of Maya. That is why it will never become perfect. We will go on doing this research work for another million years, but we can forget about living forever or keeping this body perfect. I mean, most of the scientists also agree it's not going to happen. That they also know that. But the reason is this. So when you look at all these things, you can understand there is only one thing in the Vedic literature that is the absolute truth, and that is the soul. That is the soul. Nothing else is important. So therefore, if perfection is what one is looking for, then this is the only topic one has to study. What is the topic? The topic of the soul. Nothing else. This is why self-realization is so important. That when we think self-realization, if it comes in the way, we'll take it. That's the way we are today. But intelligent sages, intelligent means because of their deeper realizations in there, in these things, sages have told us, if ever this energy what you have got in this body, this material body, whatever time and energy you have got, if you want to use it, utilize it for the highest purpose, there is nothing else higher than this self-realization. It's the only thing what is worthwhile pursuing. Nothing else. Everything else is waste of time. Everything else end up in frustration. So, Prarabdha Ganitam Sutram. Then, Prarabdham is what has brought this body. And it is one of the most amazing thing, this material body. It stays in this material nature for some time and it disappears on its own. That nobody can find out why it changes, how it changes, all these things are unknown to us. We can make a lot of scientific theories behind it, but ultimately there is no definite answer to all these questions. Just like when you were a child, you have a lot of energy to play, run around, do this, do that. When you are about 60, you want to have the same energy and capacity to do it. Will it be there? It won't be there, isn't it? It's gone. Even if you want it, you can't get it. Then artificially we try to do so many things, but it never works. It works for a few days and then it goes also. Eventually we die. So we become weak and without asking us one day, it goes away. That is why Krishna is saying here, Kartasmi. Kartasmi means this material body, I am. That is the blunder we have made ourselves. Krishna says, I am this material body. We have made that foolish decision within us. And when we get attached to the body in that way, and whatever activities we do in this world, in Shastram there is a word for that, and that is called Asakti. Asakti means that after getting attached to the body, our activities in this world, in relationship with the body, is due to attachment to the body. It is not coming from the soul. It is coming from that bodily identity. And therefore, it is called Asakti. And opposite thing to that is Vairagyam. Vairagyam is the opposite thing to Asakti. So, Asakti drives us to get attached to the body and engage in bodily activities in this world. Vairagyam teaches us to disconnect from the body and act on the spiritual platform. That's why Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke in the Bhagavatam in the beginning, isn't it? What did he say? He said, Vidyade hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayaha kshiyande chasya karmani drishta evalpani ishvare. That Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there, that when the Hridaya Grandhi is that grandhi or that gland that connects between the soul and the body. That identification with the body is through this Hridaya Grandhi. And when the Hridaya Grandhi is broken and Sarva Samshayaha Chidyandi, all the doubts will go away. He says all the doubts will go away. Kshiyande Chasya Karmani, then the karmam also will come to an end. Drishto Eva Alpani Ishvare. All you will see is the soul at that time, Krishna, the soul. And so you can see there that when he mentioned this, that all the processes, like meditation, for example, if you take meditation process, people have misunderstanding what this meditation is all about. Meditation, we think, oh, I'm going to sit in one room quietly, start meditating on a particular form of the Lord, and for an hour or so, and I feel I'm making progress in spiritual. Actually, meditation is not that. In the Bhagavatam, meditation is discussed. Meditation is that process whereby our realization of the soul becomes stronger through proper vijaram. Vijaram means through the thought process. How you develop that understanding of my true identity. That otherwise, when we don't spend our energy in that way, or whatever strength or capacity we have, we will do so many things in the name of spiritual life and we will eventually lose the whole thing. That Tattvajnanam Vairagyam, Krishna says. And in order to do that, Krishna gave some examples also there. What was that example? Krishna says there, verse 12 and 13, if you look, you will see here.
Na tadha badhyade vidvam tatra tatra adayan gunan pagradistobi asam sakto yadhakam samidanilaha vaisharadikshaya asangashidaya chinna samshayaha pradibuddha iva svatnan nanatvad vinivartade.
Krishna says there, then, after saying Daivadhine Sharirasmin Gunabhavyena Karmana, Vartamano Abhudastatra Kartasmiti Nibhadyade, in the 10th verse, Krishna said that Ajna, Ajna means ignorant person, he said there, that what body he has got, this material body which has come due to his Prarabdha Karmam, he does not understand that, he will get completely attached with that body, and staying in that body, he will engage himself in all kinds of activities through his senses and continuously weigh up what results is coming from that. That's what he will do. That's what first he said. That's what that means. Daivadine sharirasmin gunabhavyena karmana vartamano abhudastatra kartasmiti nibhadyade. All he is thinking is, I am doing this, I am doing that. What's the benefit doing this? What's the benefit doing that? So throughout life, he'll be busy with this one activity, identification with the body, and activities based on that body. That's all he will do, nothing else. Then, in the verse 12, Krishna says, Na tada badhyade vidvan tatra tatra den gunan prakritistobi asam sakto yathakam savida anilaha. Here, Krishna says, Na tada badhyade. Intelligent person will not bind himself in that way. That's the first thing intelligent man will do. Krishna says, not vidwan. Vidwan will know, do this thing. What is that? Na tada badhyade vidwan tatra tatra adayan gunan prakritistobi asamsakto. First he will do, he will disconnect himself from the prakriti, from the material nature. When Krishna says disconnect from the material nature, means that within himself he will make these decisions. That this material nature is not a part of me. I am not a part of the material nature. Why should I be busy with this material nature so much? Isn't it? You see, all these things are very subtle side of the Ekadasham. That prakritistobi asamsakto. He will have no asakti, samsargam, or engagement with material nature. He makes this decision within himself. That's what Krishna is expecting us to do. That prakritistobi asamsakto. And he gave three examples here and asked us to follow them. Asking us to follow them. Yatha kham savita anila. Kham savita anila. Three examples. Savita means the sun. Kham means the sky. Anila means the wind. The three personalities or three objects in this world, sky, the sun and the wind. Look at them, Krishna says, how they act in this world. The sun comes in the morning, he goes in the evening. Or he is doing his part. Have you any time seen sun getting involved in our business in this world? Sun has no interest whatsoever in what we do here or what we don't. But he is, every single day he comes, isn't it? Every single day he appears in this world. That's why we are, because according to karmam he has to do that. That he is also moving under the law of karmam. The personality in the sun planet, Krishna's one expansion known as Surya Narayana, is present there. He is executing, if you look in the 12th canto, you will see there, Dwadasha Adityas, the 12 Adityas mentioned there. In each month, a personality is responsible for that sun planet. He comes, he does his work, goes away. Krishna says, look at him, how he is executing his work. Savita. Why? He doesn't interfere in anything. He does, comes every single day. Unattached to the result, whether we are happy or not, he's not bothered about that. He comes, he does his service and he goes. First person, Krishna says, to look at. And because he is like that, this is the reason why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him first. Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. Isn't it? Vivasvan is the personality there. So, here, Krishna is saying here, prakritistobi asamsakto. Sun has no connection with prakriti. Material nature, he doesn't get involved in the material nature. He comes, does his job and goes away. Savidanila, he says. Savida means Yatha Kham Savidanila. Savida is the sun. Kham is the sky. If you look at the sky, Krishna says, you can see everything is happening in this creation within him, within the sky, isn't it? Sky means here the space. Space allows us to do everything what we want to do here. He doesn't create any problem to us. So, space is acting completely detached to this world. The sun is acting completely detached. In the same way, the wind also, Anila. He says he comes, does this what he wants to do and he goes away. He doesn't follow our rules, isn't it? We can meet in Copenhagen and discuss all these things. But he's not going to listen to us. He will do what he wants, isn't it? So our foolish brain is like this. It is so dull that it cannot understand that all these things are working under some higher directions. All they are worried is who will come for this meeting, who won't come. This is their main issue. As though if all the leaders come, the things will change. Things are not going to change because of that. Krishna is saying here, Yathaham Savidanila, these three entities have been given complete freedom from Krishna to act totally independent. And because they act like that, they are not they don't come under our control. We are tiny creatures in this world whose head is very big because we want to control everything. So Yathakam Savidanila, Krishna says there. Yathakam Savidanila. These three things, Krishna says, is very important. Vaishnatada Badyade Vidwan Tatra Tatra Adayan Gunan Pragradistobi Asam Sakto Yathakam Savidanila. So intelligent man, he won't look to Copenhagen, he will look into Bhagavadam first. Because Bhagavadam will tell you what is the reality. The truth is spoken here, not there. Yadhakam Savidanila. Krishna is saying there, the person who created this whole creation from whom it has come about. Krishna is saying to us, look at them and learn from them how they are acting in this world. Without any desire for results, without any conception that I am the doer. These two things don't exist in either of these three. Either in the sky or in the space or in the sun. This, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, doesn't exist. Have you seen sun any time asking that, okay, I've given you so much sunlight, what are you giving back to me? He never asked us once, has question. We take it for granted, he has to come every morning and give us sunshine. We take it like that. Krishna says, no, there is no such thing. No agreement we have signed with the sun, nor with the space, nor with the wind. They come and they give us what we want and they go. And that is why they are considered to be the finest examples for Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, here Krishna is saying, intelligent person, first thing what he will do is, Natada Badhyade Vidvam Tatra Tatradein Gunayan. That material nature and its qualities are working in this world and I am not a part of the material nature. Why should I get involved with the material nature? This is the first thing he will think. And then, Prakritistobi Asam Sakto. He will not interfere in the Prakriti, material nature. That is the intelligent side of it. So, not to involve in material nature is intelligence. Not to go keep on tampering with material nature is ignorance. So, spiritually, person who has spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization, spiritual understanding of life, he won't go digging around all around the world for mining and for getting all the things from the earth or in the North Sea to get the oil. This is all the symptoms of ignorance in a person. Why? Prakritistobi asam sakto. If you get tampering with the prakriti, material nature, we have to pay a heavy price for it. Major price what we have to pay is not the climate change. The gross karmam that follows with that. That is the higher price that they are not worried. They think Krishna has kept all these things for us to come and take what we want. And if it's not working, we don't even complain to Krishna. We meet in Copenhagen and discuss it, what we want to do about. What a foolishness. Prakritistobi asam sakto. Prakriti and us. If we have understood what we are, why should I get involved with Prakriti? And Krishna's arrangement is such, take the minimum what you need. That's why Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Tena Tektyena Bunjida. Isn't it? That Magrida Kasasiddhanam. That knowing very well to whom it belongs to. Material nature belongs to Krishna. Krishna allows us to stay here. utilizing the very minimum what we need. Because this association with nature is not a good thing. Pragradistobi asam sakto. He says connected with Pragradi means you have to stay in Pragradi for a long time. You cannot break away from that. Yathakam savidanila. Now, after saying that, Krishna said another important thing after that. Vaisharadikshaya asangashidaya chinna samshayaha pratibuddha iva swapnam nanatvad vinivartate. That is another important verse. Krishna says there that Vaisharadikshaya asangashidaya. A person who has got this kind of intelligence, Krishna calls a special name for that, and that is called Vaisharadi Buddhi. Have you seen that word? Very important word in the Bhagavatam. Vaisharadi Buddhi. Do you think all our great sages who gave Srimad Bhagavatam, they were foolish people? Do you think, oh, they didn't have the brain like we have got? They knew more than what we know about this world. That is why they could tell us these things so openly to us. Vaisharadikshaya asangashidayaha chinna samshayaha. Once Vaisharadi Buddhi develops in a person, we spoke about this Vaisharadi Buddhi, remember? Vaisharadi Shadi Vishuddha Buddhir, earlier in another chapter. That Vaisharadi Buddhi is what we have to develop. If Vaisharadi Buddhi, this word I mentioned before, it is from this Vaisharadi Buddhi coming from the word Sharada. Sharada is another name of the Sri Parvati. So all these are connected. The spiritual intelligence is Sri Parvati is another aspect. Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhir Gunodimaya Dhunasamprasudam. Earlier we spoke about this, Vaisharadi Buddhi. So here, Vaisharadikshaya Asangashidayaha Chinna Samshayaha. That what happens to him? Then that he is engaging with this body in this world, which is called Vyavaharam, isn't it? With the body, he is doing Vyavaharam inside, but he does not allow Vyavaharam to touch him, to touch himself. He keeps himself away from the everything effect of the Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam you have to do. Vyavaharam means all the transactions, what you have to do in this world. For maintaining this body, you have to go to work. And if you are in family life, you have to look after the family. And if you are living in a country, you have to be loyal to the country. So many things. That's all related to the body, nothing more than that. Our personal spiritual life is our business. There nobody has anything to say, nobody can touch that. That is our independent, individual life. It is not selfishness, it is our interest in this world. That's why we have come here for, as far as Krishna is concerned. That we have been given this body, all these facilities to utilize it and leave the rest of it and go back to the spiritual world, to Krishna. So, Vaisharadikshaya Vinivartade, that this particular verse is a bit difficult to explain because Vaisharadi Buddhi is necessary to understand this verse also. This is the first thing. So, Krishna says here that this Vaisharadi Buddhi is not philosophy. Is not philosophy. That is something very important. You see, philosophy is within the frame of intelligence. There were so many philosophers in this world, isn't it? There were great, great philosophers who have come and provided, given their own philosophy to this world. Western philosophers, Eastern philosophers, Chinese philosophers, all sorts of philosophers, big, big names we have, isn't it? You have seen those who have studied philosophy, they'll know more. But as you know, there are many, many great philosophers in this world. Now, this what Krishna is saying here is not a philosophy. Please don't mix up these two things together. It's not philosophy. Krishna is speaking, none of the philosophers have spoken the way Krishna has spoken. Krishna is speaking from the soul. From the soul platform of the soul, Krishna is speaking. That's why he is saying here, Vaisharadikshaya asangashidayaha. If you say it is philosophy, you have lost the track. You are gone. Completely gone. Because philosophy is on an intellectual plane. Philosophy is on an intellectual plane. This is right in the center, in the chit. This is coming from the chit. Remember, Satta, Chitta, Anandam. The Chitta is the consciousness. And it is that consciousness is Krishna. And it is coming from there. So it's not a philosophy. This we must be very perfect on this. We shouldn't say, oh, our philosophy is like this, your philosophy is different. No, your philosophy is different thing altogether. It is not, philosophy is coming from intelligence. Some people who are particularly intelligent, who have used their intelligence, thought about this for many years, and they have developed a philosophy after that. They have developed a philosophy. For example, you have heard about Hegel, then Nietzsche, Voltaire, Rousseau, here Bertrand Russell, and so many philosophers all over the world. There are many, many philosophers, isn't it? And in Eastern philosophers also, there are many philosophers exist in this world. All philosophy comes from an intellectual plane. It doesn't go beyond than that. They use their intelligence and try to analyze this world, and they come to certain conclusions, and that's their philosophy. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, is not philosophy. It is not philosophy. If anybody says its philosophy, is mistaken. It is coming from that soul who is present in everyone as Antaryami, Krishna. It's coming from that Chit, Krishna consciousness. In other words, the Bodham, Bodhisattva, as it is called in the Shastram. So many titles for that. That Sattva, that is speaking here. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. In that way. Krishna is not saying to you, look, my philosophy is like this, Uddhava, you do this. Uddhava won't take it also, if you say that to them. No, Uddhava wants to know the truth. That is why in the beginning, when Uddhava spoke to Krishna, what did he say to Krishna? Satyasyami sudrisham almanam almanonyam vaktaramesha vibhudesho vinanu chakshe sarve vimohidadhyaha tavamayeme Brahma dayastanu brada bahirartha bhavaha. Uddhava says to Krishna, there is no one else in this world here who is more qualified than you to tell these things. Because Uddhava knows who is Krishna. That's why he said that. That Brahma is not even qualified, he says. Because why? Even Brahma, tanibrudo bahirartha bhava. Sometimes Brahma's mind also goes to the external world, to Maya. But someone whose mind never moves, not once, throughout these 125 years, Krishna has shown this to us. Not once Krishna's mind has moved. So therefore, bahirartha bhava doesn't apply to Krishna. That's why satyasyade, you are that absolute truth, Uddhava says to Krishna. If it is good for Uddhava, it's good for Arjuna, it's good for all the great acharyas. They have all confirmed exactly the same thing. Satyasade, the satyam param dimahi. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is saying this again to us. That absolute truth is speaking here. That absolute truth, which is known as satyam param dimahi, is speaking here. It's not coming from the intelligence. It's not Krishna's intelligence is speaking. It is the intelligence, so-called intelligence, the word intelligence, what we use in this world, is nothing but a part of this body and varies from into degrees in different people, isn't it? To degrees in different people, and we refer to that as intelligence. But this is not coming from intelligence. This is coming from the truth. Satyasyate sudrisham almanam almanonyam. One who is always established in the truth. Truth means the soul. That is the only truth in this creation. So one who is always established in the truth is Krishna. And he is speaking this. So therefore, Krishna, he says here that we must not misunderstand that this is another philosophy. That is what I am stressing this point again. That when we talk to others also, if somebody say, if we are not able to get this point across to them, please don't say that it is our philosophy. Your philosophy, what is your philosophy? My philosophy is like this. Don't say like that to anybody. We are not in that business of arguing with other philosophers. There's no value to us. Because every philosophy comes under the intellectual plane. Nothing more. This is not coming from the intellectual plane. So, this is, what is it then? This is the very essence of what we are inside us. That soul thing, that's what it is. That is where this knowledge is coming from. It is knowledge related to that. It is not the knowledge related to anything else. When we say we are existing, I'm existing, you are existing, so many people are existing. It is that existence what is the reality for us. Whatever happens, That doesn't go away from us. You can't take that, my identity as my existence, you can't take it away from me. It will always be there in me. When I'm born, from any moment, if you take it away, even if I die, what goes on with me is that I'm existing still. If I am self-realized, I will say this. Even today, I can say that. I will always exist. And this is one realization that Parikshit Maharaj got at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. That I, existence, never die. What dies is the body. That is another thing. And this concept is important for us in the Vedantam and in the Bhagavatam also, Bhagavad Gita everywhere. This is one point Krishna is stressing there. When Parikshit realized, what did he say? Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam. I am Brahmam. I have completely realized that truth. I have no doubts about it anymore. That, and therefore, that is how Sudeva Goswami made Parikshit Maharaj to realize there is no such thing called a death. Takshaka cannot kill you. Because how can he kill you when you are going to exist forever? Where is the question of killing you? He can come and burn your body, but you are not this body anyway. So where is the question of giving importance to the body? So here, Krishna is saying here that what does this... because it is like this, it is coming from the soul... Because this knowledge is coming from the soul, this knowledge is the most subtle knowledge of all. It is the most subtle knowledge of all. Unfortunately, all these philosophers will argue throughout their life between each other. And they will try to establish my philosophy is better than that. They can continue doing what they are doing. That's another business. That's not our business. Our business to directly accept from this knowledge what Krishna has given to us in the Ekadasham, saying to us that Vaisharadhya, Vaisharadhi Ikshaya. If you have got this Vaisharadhi Buddhi, what is this Vaisharadhi Buddhi? We discussed this before. Then, Vaisharadhi Buddhi, you can, in simple terms, explain it like this. That you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's most beautiful presentation of the truth in the Ekadasha Skandam. While you are hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is sufficient mode of goodness in us, if there is adequate mode of goodness in us, and if our habits are pure, particularly the food habits, if it's pure, ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi, isn't it? So if the food habits are pure, and if our sattva gunam is in abundance, in us, and if our habits are very good in spiritual consciousness all the time, particularly if you are very steady in your sadhana, chanting the holy name and following the principles very strictly, if we do all that, plus executing Krishna consciousness properly, how? That whatever we are doing in devotion, in bhakti, here there's a problem. We have misunderstood what bhakti means. All the time we think bhakti is a lot of rituals. That is not what bhakti Krishna is talking about. Krishna's definition of bhakti, if you want to know, you have to read the 12th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will say what bhakti means. If you have that, that means from bhakti comes service. And that service which is executed without expectation of any results, but with pure love, with the desire to serve everyone else in this world, in pure consciousness, seeing them as Krishna's expansions. To such an extent, if there is realization inside, and if you are serving them in that way, if you are following this process of chanting the holy name properly, if our food habits are perfect, that we are strict about those habits, and also, if you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in Salsangam, at that time, that what will happen is that one will develop this Vaisharadhi Buddhi. Krishna says, Vaisharadhi Kshaya. That Vaisharadhi Buddhi will come from these things. It won't come from anywhere else. That if out of these many things I mentioned, if any of them goes away, falls down, then we will not develop that Vaisharadhi Buddhi. These are the things which develops or assists in developing Vaisharadhi Buddhi. Vaisharadhi Buddhi comes from these things. That basically the sattvagunam inside, abundant sattvagunam inside, number one. Secondly, the execution of sadhana, very strong sadhana inside all the time. Busy with the holy name, what we have got, that's all Krishna is asking us to chant the holy name, nothing else. Secondly. Thirdly, our food habits. Fourthly, everything what we do in this world, if it is done with that bhakti inside as a service to others, without expecting anything from anyone under any circumstances, purely with the intention of seeing that it's Krishna present in another living entity, and let me please him. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not all this that five times I've done ardi, three to the face, four to the stomach, ten to the feet. So I've done my duty. That bhakti is a different bhakti. Bhakti Krishna is talking about is this, that the change in that consciousness of a person who has done these things, Krishna says, he will have Vaisharadi buddhi. He will see things properly. That Vaisharadi buddhi is Krishna is talking about. Vaisharadi kshaya asangashidayaha. That ikshanam means that vision will come to him. Vaisharadi buddhi will come to such a person. That continuously with the body, mind, intelligence, and whatever we have to do in this world, if one is able to do without expectation of anything from that, expectation of results from that, and continuously serving others in that, with that desire, and constantly endeavoring for satsangam. That is another aspect of this Vaisharadi buddhi. Constantly endeavoring for satsangam. Then, if we do that, our buddhi, because its word uses Vaisharadi buddhi, Krishna says here that our Vaisharadi buddhi will develop very strongly. Our buddhi has a very powerful way of doing things. And that when it works in the Vaisharadi direction or Vaisharadi buddhi develops inside, Vaisharadi drishti will come from that. And when we develop that vision of Vaisharadi buddhi, we will look at ourselves in a completely different way. We will see ourselves in a completely different way. That we will start seeing that this material body is nothing but an outer cover. Outer cover. You see, today, because this Vaisharadi buddhi hasn't come to us, therefore, we are always falling back into our own square again. We read, we hear, we think, we listen and everything, but then we go back into our own old problems. Isn't it? We come back and start saying, what should I do now? What should I do now? What should I do now? Keep on asking the questions. But this is purely because what Krishna has spoken hasn't happened to us. Vaisharadikshaya asangashidayaha. That Vaisharadi buddhi, if it comes, what happened? Asangashidayaha. No connection with this world anymore. No more connection with this world. We, as I said before many times, I'm repeating this again and again, we want everything on our terms. We are simply resisting to break away from the world, isn't it? We want everything to work in our terms. And Krishna is saying, this is the main problem, that you want everything on your own way. Asangashidayaha, chinna samshayaha. That chinna samshayaha, there is no more doubts can come to your mind. Because why doubts are coming? There is no Vaisharadi buddhi inside. The buddhi is not Vaisharadi. Vaisharadi buddhi is a very powerful word and it's one of the most important words in the Ekadasha Skandam. Because it is only through Vaisharadi buddhi you can understand Ekadasham. And when that Vaisharadi buddhi is not there, what will happen? We will identify with the body, bodily extensions, and we'll be very busy with everything in this world, with the body and bodily extensions, family, society and everything. And we will think that, oh, it's not possible. And that is the biggest problem. As soon as you go out of this class, you will say, oh, he can say all these things, but it's not possible. It's not possible. The moment you say that, put some cotton fluff in your ears. Once you heard that, you're finished. Then there is no more spiritual life after that. Do you think If it is not possible, Krishna would have wasted his time saying us all these things to us. Do you think Krishna is so foolish that he had to tell us all these things if it was something not possible? What is not possible is that we have decided it is not possible. That is the biggest problem. Krishna has not decided. Krishna has told Uddhava, and he told Uddhava, Uddhava, go to Badrikashram, speak to Narayana Maharshi, let this knowledge stay in this world for those who are going to come later. Because Uddhava asked Krishna to stay back. Krishna says, no, I have to go. I'm going. But does not matter. This knowledge will stay in this world. Those who are looking for me, they will come inquiring after. Those who are not looking for me, they don't need this anyway. That was Krishna's point. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, go to Badrinath, Badrikashram, and speak to Narayana Maharshi about this, what I have taught you. And you could see that what happened to Uddhava after he received this knowledge? Purnartho lakshitasthena sneha prasara samhluta. Third kind of Tritiya Skandam says this. About when Vidura saw Uddhava, how did he find Uddhava? Purnartham lakshitasthena sneha prasara samhluta. That bhakti and devotion inside Uddhava was so much that it was overflowing from him. Purnartho lakshitasthena, says Maitreya Maharshi, says Purnartham. The absolute truth is totally manifesting through Uddhava. This is what Vidura saw in Vrindavanam when he met Uddhava. So this has happened to Uddhava, and Krishna's words to Uddhava was, let this stay in this world, this knowledge what Krishna has given to us in Ekadasham. And those who are looking for me, they will find it and they will take it seriously and follow it through. Those who are not serious, they will go out of the room and say, this is not possible. This is not for me. For me, there is some easier process I will look for. This is too much for me. They will say like that. So then it is difficult. And they are the people whom you should avoid all the time. An atheist won't give you so much trouble. Atheist will say, God doesn't exist. All right, you leave him. Let him go. You can leave him. Isn't it? He doesn't calm you. But this one is like H1N1. You know? Or like the chikungunya or whatever it is. It won't leave you. It's an infection it is. Those who talk like that, it's just an infection they are. And they should be avoided under all costs. Under all circumstances, you should avoid such people who talk like that. That it's not possible. If it's not possible, then why did Krishna say all these things? Why did Krishna say Bhagavad Gita? Why did Krishna give us Bhagavatam? Why did all these great acharyas, starting from Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every one of them have taken this and they followed it through and showed it to us. And how can we say it's not possible? There is no answer to that, is there? Were they all fools that they spent all their lifetime studying Krishna's words? They were not foolish. Besides, our little that intelligence, that dull intelligence is telling us it's not possible. It cannot be done. So, Vaisharya Dikshaya Asanga Shidayaha Chinna Samshayaha. This Samshayam is doubt. Doubt is a chittavritti and it is an activity of the mind. One should not give importance to this. We are habituated to this, isn't it? Giving importance to this. Here, most of the people, you think you are very intelligent if you ask a lot of questions, isn't it? That's how we are trained to think. There's a statement also related to that it's a symptom of intelligence or something, if you ask question, isn't it? It's a question of symptom of intelligence, they say. This is all materialist understanding of life. It has nothing to do with spiritual reality. Spiritual reality, spiritually advanced person understands that questions are coming from the mind. Doubts are coming from the mind. And mind is nothing but chittavritti. The more there is chittavritti inside, there will be more doubts. So that is the reason when all the Mahatmas, when they answer your question, they won't answer your question. They will answer the questioner. They know who has to be rectified. The problem is within the person. They don't have to clarify all your questions. Krishna doesn't waste his time 1 minute with Uddhava or Arjuna answering the questions. Have you noticed that? If you study Bhagavad Gita properly, if you study Ekadasha Skandam properly, you will see this very important feature. Krishna is not answering one question directly. Krishna is answering the questioner, not the question. He is answering the questioner. He knows the questioner has to change. The questioner has to change. And that's what's required for us also. If we keep on asking questions, I've got 6 questions. This is the first one for you. Have it. Part 1. Part 2. You can ask questions, millions of... All I can sit and think is, that man is busy with his mind. He's not accepting Bhagavad Gita. He is bringing Bhagavad Gita to his mind and evaluating the Bhagavad Gita there. Bhagavad Gita is not for your mental scrutiny. It's not for intellectual scrutiny. Bhagavad Gita is a knowledge coming from a much, much higher plane, from the chit, from consciousness. That is what I said before. It's not a philosophy. If you take it as a philosophy, you have lost it, the track. You have lost it. People are studying Bhagavad Gita in university. That's what they are doing there. That's why don't go to university to study Bhagavad Gita. You won't get it there. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has to be studied in the tradition of the acharyas. They have understood, they followed it through, they showed it to us in life, that it is practical and possible to do it and realize the truth in this way. It is they we have to follow. It is they we have to follow. So, Vaishara Dikshaya Asanga Siddhayaha Chinna Samshayaham, that this body is nothing but a outer cover. And as you go inside, you will see there is another world, which is the world of the mind, isn't it? First thing is the body. Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. You know the 5 sheath that is around the soul. These are the 5 sheaths which is surrounding the soul. And as you keep going inside this, and we start approaching, and what we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam is for only one purpose, to move towards that soul, not to get stuck in the annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. And therefore, if you look in the Upanishads, how this is spoken, it is also important there. In the Upanishads, when they say these things, they will explain this in a different way. Taittiriya Upanishad talks about this, that they say like this, that the... they are saying, Edanmaha Atmanam Upasangramyam, that one after the other, different sheets are broken. One after the other, different sheets are broken. And ultimately, it reaches the soul. Our inquiry reaches the soul. We get to the soul. One after the other, we break away through different sheets, which is covering us. And eventually, we get to the soul. Then, and even the, there you will notice, annamayam is the first thing, which is the gross body. Then there is a pranamayam, pranamaya kosham. Why pranamayam? Pranam has an impact on us in a very powerful way. How is that? It is from pranam that the desire for eating comes, isn't it? Eating, thirst and hunger, these are the characteristics of the pranam inside, the life, soul, energy inside. So, when you read these verses later on, Krishna will say there, in the 13th chapter, that even for that desire for eating has to go from inside. Desire for eating also has to go from inside. And if our spiritual inquiry is powerful enough, we will not take serious note of the demands of pranam. Will not take serious note of the demands of pranam. Pranam is demanding from us food. And normally, a small quantity of food is sufficient to satisfy pranam, isn't it? But then, why are we asking for a feast? What is the reason? What is the reason? Why do we say that for survival of this body or to satisfy the pranam? These are spiritually advanced people tell us these things. For survival of this material body, all you require is a little food. And that can be rice or dal and sabji or chapati, and some food is sufficient. But we believe in 56 preparations, isn't it? If every day we can eat 56 preparations, we'll be very happy. Or 108, or 1008, or whatever. When you go into the internet and look, some devotees are saying this, that I have prepared 1008 for Krishna. Krishna is looking at him, smiling at us, that this man wants to eat 1008, so he has brought it to me. And using me, he is eating his 1008. He hasn't got anything higher than that principle. But why I'm saying this is, prana needs some food. Why does it become a feast? Somebody else gets involved there. Who is that? The mind. Mind. Mind is telling the prana, look, anyway we have to eat. So let's make it an elaborate feast. So it's the mind that makes the feast. Pranan is asking for some simple food. Pranan will be satisfied. Krishna is saying that if you have not used your intelligence to control this rascal mind at this point, the whole life he will demand from you a feast every day. And you have to work from morning to night in the kitchen doing this business. Nothing else. You will have no time for anything else except to cook. Cooking will be the only business throughout life happening. So then you may find other subtle excuses to justify that. I have to spend so much time in cooking, so much feast is necessary, and this appearance day, that disappearance day will come one after the other, and for each appearance and disappearance you will be making feasts. And then Diwali came, and then you have to get so much more feasts. So like this it will extend and extend and extend. So pranan is this problem. Pranan, if you satisfy pranan, it doesn't require so much. But when the mind gets in, then it has to be expanded. That's where the problem is. So, annamaya kosham, pranamaya kosham. Then after that, this biggest rascal, manomaya kosham. Very difficult to get over him. And that is what all the mahatmas are teaching us. How to get over this mind. And therefore, what they do, they keep on telling us this way and that way. So you don't get stuck in that. In that mind, it makes you to think that mind is telling me that distribution books is important. Mind is telling me that something else is. There is no really, strictly speaking, there is no anything, none of these things. Practically, I am in spiritual life to realize the truth, to realize the soul, what my real identity is. All these things are there to help me. I am not here to do that. They are there to help me to come to the truth. Realizing the truth is the goal, not all the other things. Some people are taking it that I will be distributing books whole life, I'll be doing deity worship whole life, I'll be chanting the holy name whole life, and I don't know what is the goal. I don't know what the goal is. Goal is to chant the holy name. If it comes to like that, then we have lost the track. That's the most important thing. That all these things are there to help us to realize the truth. Truth is Krishna. To realize Krishna, to self-realization, in other words, all these are things there to assist us. And that is why when you read the books, if you feel there are contradictions, it is good. If you feel there are contradictions, it's good. Because contradictions will make you to think. Otherwise, what will happen? The mind will tell us, well, this is not very properly explained. I'll go to somebody else and ask what's the right way to understand. There's no right way. This only way is that to think through it and to see that they're all there to help you in your spiritual life, to reach the truth. So, therefore, to pull us out from the mind, to pull us out of the mind, it has to be instructed in that way. Everybody does that. Everyone does that. I gave example of Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. Another one example of that. There's another example is, one sage was living in his ashram. And the sage had many visitors coming every day to see him. And once it so happened, a couple of visitors were coming. So another person who was living in that ashram told the sage that some people are coming to see you. So can I bring them to you tomorrow morning, say about 9 o'clock in the morning? He wanted to fix up a time with him. So the sage looked at him for a minute and understood that he has not understood anything about spiritual life. So he says to him, yes, yes, bring him over in the morning at 9 o'clock. He fixed the time and everything. Next morning, these two visitors who had come from some faraway place, they had come. So this person took him to the sage But sage wasn't there. He has locked up the room and he has gone somewhere. He wasn't there. So they went looking for him all around, and after a couple of hours they found him wandering around in the Parikrama Marg somewhere. They were wandering around. Anyway, because they had come to see him, they didn't make any issue out of it. They couldn't ask him, why did you not stay? You gave us the time for 9 o'clock, but you were not there. What has happened? They didn't say anything like that. They left it like that. But then this incident happened again and again and again with many other people. So after some time, people found it very difficult how to deal with him, because people were coming from faraway places to see him. You see? And you know how we are, don't you? When we go to some place, we are already thinking that after seeing that, visiting that place, what is the next plan after that? That is in our head working. Just now we are sitting here, we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. I know what going through your mind after the class, what you have to do the next thing. Where is the car parked? Whether to take prasadam or not? And then how long it will take to get home? And what's there to be done at home in the late in the evening? And tomorrow what's up? And so many things will be going through your mind, my mind also. It will be going through like this. Isn't it? This is our nature. Now they come to see this sage with this kind of, that's why they're asking you for the time, isn't it? So when it became very difficult, a lot of big people were coming to see him, and this was happening all the time. He will not be there. He'll say, you can come. Yes, yes, you can come, he will say. And then he won't be there when you go. So one day, some of the devotees decided, let's talk to him about it. He is so inconsistent in what he says and what he does, and he says he is a sage, all that. So they went to him in a very polite way. They reminded him, they told him that, Swamiji, you are very, very inconsistent, isn't it? He says, no, I'm very consistent, he says. I'm very consistent, he said. So again, these people could not understand. They wanted to push the idea to his head and say to him, no, because so many people have come and they said they want to see you, and we have fixed up the time with you, but you are never there. And you're always somewhere else, doing something else. I'm like, oh yeah, I agree with you. I am consistently inconsistent, he said. So he says to him, I'm consistently inconsistent, he said. Why? Why is it like that? Reason is that we are trying to project our understanding. We are from the material world. They are from the spiritual world. In spiritual world, there is no such thing called time. There is no appointments in spiritual world. Radharani doesn't take an appointment with Krishna when she wants to go and see him. Or Krishna doesn't take an appointment with Radharani. There is no such thing called time. Time is a part of this world. Those who are living in the spiritual world while in the material world will not care for any of these things. They have no value for it. So in order to teach us that, they will deliberately do this to us. They won't accept this kind of appointments with them. Because if you have come searching for the truth, if you are genuinely looking for the truth rather than entertainment, you will be willing to put up with some inconvenience in life. If you are not willing to put up with any inconvenience, if everything has to be, the sage is telling to them, look, you carry on with your appointments and meetings and whatever that is after that, and when you are ready, you can come. Because when you are going to some great personality or a great soul, if you go with this mood of inquiry, but with these conditions, that strings attached to it, then it will not work. Therefore, in order to tell us these things, they will act in this way. It is a part of the... All Mahalmas do that. All of them. Nobody is different in these things. That only you'll get to know when you get to closer to them. And then what happens often is, sometimes they'll become secretaries to these Mahatmas. Very close to them, they'll be operating. But secretaries don't like all these things because he hasn't come to that level. He is still on his mental platform and he has to answer all the visitors, isn't it? So he finds it very difficult because he has to explain this to them. And that's very hard. Visitors are big, big people. They're coming sometime, presidents, prime ministers, this, that and the other. They come. When they come also, it's the same story. They don't bother. Mahalmas will never succumb to any of this kind of pressures. There's no value for that. For them, if you are spiritually inquiring, if you are serious about spiritual life, then these inconveniences you should be able to put up with. If you're not able to put up with this, you're not ready for spiritual life. That is the simple message that's coming from there. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaisharadhi Ikshaya Asangashidaya Chinna Samshayaha. So, Vaisharadhi Buddhi is such a thing, Asangashidaya. It breaks here everything, what Krishna says here, that because of the Vairagyam inside and because of the knowledge inside, all doubts has been cleared. Because only in that situation, Vaisharadhi Buddhi will develop. In our conditioned state, when we have so many doubts about everything in this world, and particularly about Krishna and Krishna consciousness, there is no Vaisharadhi Buddhi at that stage, isn't it? So he says here that Pradibuddha iva swapnat nanatvad vinivartate. That is the second line in that verse. He says here that if this knowledge has woken up inside and if this realization has come inside, then all these fundamental doubts, what is normally disturbing us in our inquiry, will go. That is the first thing. And they will not ask any questions related to these issues what we are asking today. That should not happen. Because Vaisharadhya Ikshaya Asangashidaya, he has already used his knowledge to cut off all these things. Very, very matured people in spiritual life. Pakvam, they call it. Pakvam, fruit. When it becomes fully mature, it is pakvam. Isn't it? Uddhava was a very matured fruit. That is why when Krishna spoke, it went straight inside. Straight into the heart. And there were always, you will notice this, in the circle of great realized souls, there will be some people who are very matured. Spiritually, very matured. Pakvam. Pakvam means fully ripened fruit. Fully ripened fruit. And this ripened fruit, they don't ask questions. Fully unripened ones will fire away all the questions there. And people come and see, these ones who are firing away is the one who is serious about spiritual life. The fully ripened one who is quiet, executing his spiritual life very carefully and seriously, he will never be noticed. He will never be noticed. So, these are important verses. So, we need more time. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.